Friends, now in this chapter 12, we will look into legal issues in merger and acquisitions. No doubt, while discussing the merger, acquisition, takeover, etc., we have already touched upon all those issues, legal issues also. But more importantly, we have to dive deep into the legal issues in merger and acquisition from the perspective of the proper merger and acquisition transactions. Now, with the view of this, our objective to discuss this chapter is to understand statutory, regulatory, and compliance framework first, which governs the merger and acquisition in India. Comprehend fundamental concepts of appointed date and effective date. Appointed date and effective date. Then interpret the provision of Companies Act, examine the SEBI regulation, analyze corporate governance issue, and evaluate the tax provision under the Income Tax Act 1961. Further, understanding the transaction-related levies, assess the role of FEMA, and explore the Competition Act, integrate the legal, financial, and regulatory perspective. This is our objective to discuss this chapter. Therefore, our presentation structure definitely will consist of concept of appointed date and effective date, Companies Act, power of court, SEBI buyback securities, SEBI substantial acquisition of the shares and takeover, SEBI substantial acquisition of shares and takeover regulation 2011, then regulation 2017 and 2018, listing agreement norms, SEBI delisting securities guidelines, corporate governance issue, CEO and CFO certification, provisions of Income Tax Act, amalgamating company, amalgamated company, cost with reference to the certain modes of acquisition, deduction of certain expenditure incurred, and tax sales of the business slump sales, stamp duty aspect, Foreign Exchange Management Act and Competition Act 2002. To start with our discussion on this legal aspects or legal framework, which serves the several purposes. For example, it may protect the interest of shareholders, ensures transparency, accountability, prevents the market abuse, etc., etc. We have to definitely go into each and every aspect little bit more deep to understand the full gamut of this regulation. Right now, the concept of appointed date and effective date. Appointed date and effective date. What is appointed date? Appointed date is nothing but it refers to the date from which the merger or amalgamation is deemed to be taking effect for accounting and tax purpose. Okay, that is called appointed date. Appointed date can be a specific calendar date, or it is a trigger-based date that is linked to an event, such as obtaining the shareholders' regulatory approval. Okay, now, the effective date means what? Effective date is the date on which the scheme of merger and amalgamation is actually coming to the force. Only from this date, the scheme becomes legally enforceable. So it makes the point at which the transferor company legally ceases to exist and all assets and liabilities and the business operations vest in the transferee company. Right? This is the effective date. Right? Here is the difference between appointed date and effective date is given. You can very well look into that. We will proceed further. Now we will look into the Companies Act 2013. What is Companies Act 2013? The key provisions under the Companies Act is Section 230, which compromise and arrangement. It allows company to enter into compromises or arrangement with the creditors and members. Section 231 is given under this, the power is given to the tribunal. and under Section 232, merger and amalgamations provides detailed procedure for mergers, amalgamations, etc. Right? Under company, Section 233 is a fast track merger. If it is required to be there, then this act applies. Cross-border merger, then in case of that, Section 234 is applicable. Section 235 consists of acquisition of minority shareholding. Certain guidelines are issued over here. 236 is purchase of minority shareholding. Section 237 is amalgamation in public interest. Section 238 to 240 consists of miscellaneous provision where the deal with the registration of the scheme, fees, preservation of the rights, creditors and employees, right? The role of NCLT and regulatory oversight. Number two, NCLT is approving authority for most mergers and arrangements. Okay, regulators involved are SEBI, RBI, CCI, Income Tax Department. Now, significance merger and acquisitions. This provides uniform legal framework, facilitate minority shareholder protection, enables the cross-border expansion, introduces the fast-track procedure, and enhances the transparency and the governance in deal-making. Now, let us understand a little between power of court, that is NCLT and NCLAT, in merger and acquisition. Under the Companies Act 2013, the National Company Law Tribunal, NCLT, is the primary adjudicating authority for matters relating to the merger, amalgamation, compromise and arrangement. So NCLAT, National Company Law Tribunal, Appellate Tribunal, serve as an appellate authority against the NCLT's order. Any approval given by NCLT, and against that, if any of the party is not satisfied, they have an option to appeal to the tribunal, and that is also National Company Law Appellate Tribunal. Together, they ensure the merger and acquisition transactions are carried out in compliance with the law, protect the shareholder interest, and maintain the fairness and corporate structuring. The power of NCLT in merger of acquisition. What is the power of NCLT? Power of NCLT exercises the quasi-judicial power. They sanction the scheme of arrangement under Section 230 to 232. They convene the meeting of shareholders. They supervise the implementation and the fast-track merger. They provide the fast-track merger and fast-track merger. Then they have the cross-border mergers. They have acquisition and minority protections and the public interest amalgamation as well as jurisdiction over the related issue. Then power of NCLAT, National Company Law Appellate Tribunal. This appellate authority, the hears appeals against the order of NCLT under Section 410 of the Companies Act 2013. Review of NCLT order. Any order issued by NCLT, and if any flaws are there, then they can appeal to the NCLT. Can affirm, modify or set aside NCLT's orders in merger and acquisition cases. They ensure the natural justice coordination with the other regulators. The role in they have the role in protecting the stakeholders, as well as there will be a significance for merger and acquisition. Significance, because it provides judicial safeguard, transparency and governance, and it acts as a balancing authority, and it facilitates domestic and cross-border merger and acquisition while preventing the misuse of restructuring provision. Now, SEBI buyback securities regulations. SEBI buyback security regulation are significant in the context of merger and acquisition since they influence the shareholding pattern, valuation, promoters' control, and investor confidence. Governing law is the SEBI buyback securities regulation 2018, the superseding the earlier law of 1998, along with the provision of Companies Act 2013. Now, concept of buyback. Buyback is the repurchase of the shares by company from the existing shareholders, either to return surplus cash, improve financial ratio, or consolidate promoters' holding. Their modes will be tender offer, open market, or odd lot holders. Regulatory framework as per the Companies Act 2013, Section 68 to 17, and the SEBI Buyback Securities Act 2018. Buyback cannot exceed 25% of the aggregate paid-up capital and free reserve. Now, debt-to-equity ratio of the post-buyback cannot exceed 2:1, except for certain NBFCs. Now, method permitted is a tender offer, open market purchase, or prohibition of negotiated deal. Then there will be escrow requirement. Escrow requirement, companies must create an escrow account with cash or bank guarantee to ensure the buyback obligations are met. There will be reservation for the small shareholders. At least 15% buyback offer size must be reserved for small shareholders. And filing and disclosure is a public announcement in newspaper within 2 working days of the board and shareholders' approval. Now, time limit for buyback must be complied with within 1 year from the approval. And there are certain restrictions that no fresh issue of the shares of same kind of securities within 6 months, and no buyback through the subsidiaries or investment companies, no buyback in case of pending defaults, right? Now, SEBI amendment and recent development. SEBI amendment and recent development, 2020-21. 2022 amendment consists of enhanced disclosure in a letter of offer, including the impact on EPS, that is earning per share, return on equity, and debt equity ratio. In 2023, there was an amendment for the major reform, which is a open market buyback through the stock exchange route, which is phased out with effect from 1st April 2025. In 2024 circulars, enhanced monitoring escrow account is given merchant banker in certifying the fairness of the compliance, and tightened rule of buyback funding. Role in merger and acquisition context is a defensive strategy. Company may buy back an anti takeover defense, and post-merger optional optimization, post-merger buyback are often undertaken to return the excess cash, valuation impact, and shareholders exit. Okay. Then SEBI substantial acquisition of the shares and takeovers regulation 1997. It is a historic one. I need not discuss this because it is historic. You may go through it, right? Now, this is a substantial acquisition of shares and takeover regulations 2011, SAST. The SEBI substantial acquisition and shares and takeover regulation 2011, commonly known as takeover codes, replaces the earlier 1997 regulations to provide a more transparent, investor-friendly and comprehensive framework for substantial acquisition and takeover in India. The key objective here is the minority shareholder protection, disclosure standard, then to provide a clear and more flexible framework and to align the Indian takeovers regulations with international best practices. The key provision of SAST 2011 is trigger for open offer. Any acquirer, along with the persons acting as a concert or PAC, acquiring 25% or more of the voting rights in a listed company, must make an open offer to the remaining shareholders. Size of the open offer, it should be. Acquirer must make an open offer for at least 26% of the total shares of the target. Company ensures that after the offer, the acquirer could be potentially hold 51% a controlling stake. Then creeping acquisition limit. Creeping acquisition limit is 25% or more, but less than 75% of the shares can be acquired in addition to 5% of the voting right. Right? Then voluntary open offer. Voluntary open offer is acquirer, those who are holding 25% or more shares can voluntarily make an open offer for at least 10% of voting rights subject to conditions. Pricing open offer, exemption from the open offer obligation. Under this, the certain acquisitions such as interstate transfer among the promoters, acquisition pursuant to the scheme of arrangement approved by the court or NCLT, buyback, right issues or inheritance are exempted. Then disclosure obligation. Disclosure obligation is detailed as a disclosure of shareholding at specified threshold of 5%, 10%, 25%, 14% and changes beyond 2%. This is required to be disclosed. Then obligation of the target company is that the board of target company is required to constitute a committee of independent directors to provide reasoned recommendations to the shareholders regarding open offer. Then SAST amendment 2017 and 2018. SAST amendment regulation 2017 consists of creeping acquisition through the preference share issue. Then relaxation for resolution plan under IBC 2016, and there will be a disclosure simplification will be given under this. Then under 2018 SAST amendment regulation, there are certain key features which are covering the exemption from interstate transfer among the qualifying person. Then relaxation for the market purchase in open offer, which consists of exemption for scheme of arrangement, then operational streamlining, etc. Then listing agreement norms, SEBI LODR 2015. These are the listing agreement norms. Under this, listing agreement contained multiple clauses which imposes the disclosure and compliance requirement. However, this system had certain limitations. Those limitations are provisions were fragmented across the different clauses. Compliance was contractual and not statutory. Frequent amendment created compliance flexibility, complexity for companies and investors. Then to bring the uniformity, there will be legal backing and enforceability. SEBI consolidated these obligations into single statutory framework. The SEBI listing obligation and disclosure requirement regulation 2015 LODR regulation effective from December 1, 2015. Objective of this is to consolidate and streamline all the disclosure and compliance requirement for listed entities, ensure transparency, accountability and good governance, provide statutory force to listing, then enhance the investor protection by mandating the fair disclosure of material events. Then there will be the key features of this consist of uniform compliance framework, corporate governance, then periodic disclosures like quarterly shareholding pattern and statement of investors. Material event information consist of the companies must disclose all the material event information promptly, including merger and acquisition decisions, regulatory approvals, default in debt payment, resignation of the directors, etc. This also covers the enhanced role of independent directors, alignment with the Companies Act 2013 and enforceability penalties. SEBI delisting security norms 2013 and guidelines to the delisting regulation 2021. In India, delisting is regulated and safeguarded as an interest of minority and the public shareholders. Pre-2003, what was happened? The delisting was governed by the clause 21.3 of the listing agreement, but norms were unclear and inconsistent. 2003 guidelines, SEBI issued the SEBI delisting securities guideline in 2003 to provide a regulatory framework, but several ambiguities remained. Therefore, in 2009, regulation came and replaced the regulation of 2009 for improvement for delisting equity shares and to improve the procedural clarity. In 2021 regulations, the latest SEBI delisting equity shares regulations, they came into existence, consolidated provisions. It consists of consolidated provisions, improved timelines, and aligned delisting with the SEBI and other regulators. The current regulation in force is SEBI delisting equity shares regulation 2021. In response to the market feedback, the key features are there will be a voluntary delisting. It is a simplified timeline is given for the entire process to be reduced to 76 working days as against 125 plus days earlier. Now, initial public announcement, acquirer must first disclose the intent before making the detailed public announcement. Then reserve book binding, then roll of stock exchanges, and investor protection measures. Then here is a comparative study of the earlier few guidelines which are issued by the SEBI in respect of the listing and delisting.